Our country was founded on godly principles. You saw some of the quotes and things that were spoken in the video that we showed. There's no doubt that many of these founding fathers of ours believed in God. And many scripture, many references to the Ten Commandments, and how many statues are on public buildings, important, famous buildings of our country. And even in Supreme Court, Moses. Moses is there. Capitol building, Moses. And the tablets are there. Many places, even in our area, have that. But you may have heard, and I'm sure you have, of the fight to take these things out of existence and off of our public properties and governmental properties, to say that, well, we don't necessarily support these things. We can neither confirm nor deny our Christian roots. Well, we know better. We know better. We know. And we can look up, and as a matter of fact, it's important for us to see things like the Declaration of Independence, where in it, it expresses and shows that we are a country in references to God and Creator and the like. You know, in the there's a section in our Declaration of Independence, and it says, "These truths we hold to be self-evident." And it goes on, and it lists a few of them. They are endowed by our Creator, it says. Given to us by a deity. All right, and again, the reference. And certain inalienable rights, rights that we can't be separated from, rights that can't be taken away. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Liberty, freedom. Freedom is something that our country holds very dear. Very dear, that freedom. That ability to make choices of our own, that ability to have our own business, if you will. The ability to be governed by the people. A government, as it says, of the people, by the people, and for the people. That's important. If we don't have that, then we are under a dictatorship, in a sense. We are, in a sense, slaves. Yeah. Amen. Right? Many of us this weekend will gather with family and friends and neighbors, maybe, and we'll be having cookouts and maybe doing some swimming, maybe playing some outdoor games, horseshoes or long jarts, if you are still owning some of those after they've been outlawed. Maybe camping, or maybe you'll be traveling or going on vacation. Maybe you'll be setting off some fireworks. That's always fun. You know, maybe you'll be going to watch some fireworks. And a few of you might even sing, in tune or out, some patriotic songs. But we are a free nation. We are a free people. We were once governed by tyranny. which is why we hold the standard of freedom so high. Because that freedom was paid for with a cost, wasn't it? Amen. And that cause of freedom is still costing us. And it will cost us as long as we are free or desire to be free. It is important that we remember what things we came from, what things were like, lest we forget and return to it again. Our freedom was bought at a great price by the blood of those who gave themselves that others might live free from bondage. Our country's forefathers recognized the importance of basing our nation's freedom on something higher than themselves. And so they pointed and referenced God, the Creator, Savior, someone that's greater than themselves, and the Ten Commandments, and basing our freedom on the ultimate set of governing laws, pointing to the Ten Commandments. Laws given to Moses on Mount Sinai. Laws that you may remember were given, and it was told to the people, for Moses to tell the people, do not touch this mountain. Man nor beast must not touch this mountain. If they do, they will be killed. This mountain is that holy. What's happening here is this important. Nobody comes near it. And you may remember the people telling Moses, tell God not to talk to us. Tell God not to speak to us, because if he does, we might die. We might die. And so, with smoke and the mountain itself rumbling and trembling, and fire, the tablets of the Ten Commandments were carved by the finger of God. That in itself seems like fireworks, wouldn't you say? Wouldn't you say you see things like that on the mountain and you feel that rumble? That would strike fear in you. And the people were so afraid of God when he spoke and what he did to the earth by the power of his voice that they said, we can't come near God. Just Moses, you do it. Because if we do, we could die. We were, as a Christian religion, we derive our heritage, if you will, from that of slavery. Think about it. We derive our religious, if you want to call it that, heritage from slavery. All right? Think about the Hebrew people in Egypt. They were slaves for 400 years. 400 years. But God heard their cries. We too were bought with a price, were we not? God delivered us from slavery, from Egypt. And he showed many signs and wonders and his great power in the plagues that he poured out over Egypt and Pharaoh in order that his people should be let go. Let go and freed to worship him. Amen. 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 And then later on, Jesus Christ on the cross bought and paid for our freedom with his precious blood. Amen. the pure, spotless lamb, the firstborn, pure, never sinned, gave himself as a sacrifice for our sin, that we might be free from the chains of the tyranny of sin itself. Isn't that unbelievable? Isn't that beautiful? In 1 Corinthians, if you would turn there with me, chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. It says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God?" Now listen, "You are not your own. You were bought at a price." You were bought at a price. You were paid for. You were a slave who was purchased and set free. Think about that. We were slaves, in a sense, to sin. We were in bondage to sin. And we were carried around on the caravan of sin. But Jesus bought us at the price of his own life and his own blood. We were bought with a price. We are not our own. We are not our own. And maybe a page over, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 23, again. "You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men." Do not become slaves of men. You were bought with a price. God, in a sense, purchased us with the blood of his only Son. And in John 3:16, the well-known verse that many of us learned as a child, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but what? Have eternal life." Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world. Jesus came to save us. Amen. Save this world through him. We were bought with a price. Amen. And this nation has been blessed above all other nations because of, maybe an exception to Israel, but because of our reliance, our acknowledgement of him. There's a scripture in Proverbs that says, "Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him." And this nation has done that for many, many years. And as of late, the last number of years, we have begun a deviation, if you will, from the path that God has laid out for our nation. We have deviated from obedience to God's laws. We have deviated from having God's laws as an importance in our own lives, our own families' lives, community, and in so our nation. It is no longer important, we see by the voting, that we have in office someone that is godly, someone that follows the laws of God and walks in righteousness and leads the nation in righteousness. Not only will we vote them in once, we will vote them in a couple of times, which just confirms, and I'm not just talking about the presidency, okay? Other things as well. We see people and we accept their explanation that they will do things for us to please us personally so that we will vote for them instead of on the basis of what is right and what is wrong. Thus is the problem with our nation today. Okay, whether you are Republican, conservative, libertarian, or Democratic, that's all aside. Okay, what is the matter here is what's right and what's wrong. Amen. This nation needs to follow God, to continue to follow God, to continue to have Him involved in everything that we do. There is a movement to take "In God We Trust" off of our money. We wanted God so involved in everything that we do that we put Him and a reference to Him on the very center of existence as a country. Amen. In God we trust. That is a bold statement. Amen. If we take that off of there, that is also a bold statement. Yes. We don't trust in God anymore. We don't need God anymore. That is scary, friends. That ought to scare you. Because you know what? Ronald Reagan quoted this. And he said, "If our nation ever ceases to be a nation under God, it will be a nation gone under." If our nation ever ceases to be a nation under God, we will be a nation gone under. Why is that? Why is that? Because we have rejected God. We, in a sense, are saying to God, "We don't need you anymore. We don't want you involved in our lives or our country. We want to do it ourselves." You see, freedom can be used for good or for evil. In the garden, we had the freedom to have everything God had created at our disposal. And He said, "Just one thing, this spot here, don't touch it. Don't eat from that one. Okay, don't eat from that one. Everything else is yours. It's for you. I gave it all to you. Do as you wish. That one, no." And what did we do? Man fell. The fall of man. We disobeyed God with our freedom. We did evil with our freedom. It is man's tendency to go our own way. The Bible says that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. We just have that tendency. We don't like people telling us what to do. The Bible calls us at times stiff-necked people. "Don't tell me what to do. I'll do it myself." Maybe you heard that from your kids. Maybe you said that to your parents. No, no. "Don't tell me what to do. I can do it myself. I can do it myself. I don't need you. I know what I'm doing. I'm grown up. I don't need you telling me what to do. I don't want you involved in my decision-making process. I want to do it myself." And so that's what our nation is saying now. And there is a definite line that is being drawn. I hope that you can see this. That those who are on the one side are getting farther to that side. And those who are on the other side are even farther to that side. And there is a great chasm in between. And those who have made their choices are standing in those choices. And let me tell you something. Those who are on the Lord's side will reap just what they have sown. Those who are not and are against God will also reap what they have sown. Friends, family, are you on the Lord's side today? Are you on the Lord's side? Or are you putting yourself in a position that places you against God? Do you understand what that is? The ruler of the universe, the creator of the universe that planned out the plan of salvation, gave his only son for you. Yeah, that's the one that you're going to be finding yourself fighting against if you're not on his side. That's not a place where you want to be. And I say that to scare the hell out of you. Really. Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Righteousness exalts, lifts up a nation, but sin drags it down. It's a disgrace to any people. If we don't continue in the ways of God, we will just be like every other nation. God has blessed us in a way, in a manner that we are able to help nations all across the world. Yeah, we've stuck our nose in places sometimes where they don't belong. And yeah, I think that we've done that at times. But all in all, that being said, we have helped more nations than anyone else on the face of this earth. How many times have we gone to the aid of someone else who is being run over by a neighboring country? Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Now, I want to tell you, I want to show you what God says from his own mouth. Whoops. From his own mouth. If we obey him, if we follow the commands that he gives us. Now, in Deuteronomy, he gives us a lot of stuff to follow, okay? And in the Ten Commandments, it gives us ways that we are to please God, shows us how to live for God, and it shows us how to get along with each other, all right? But there are many, many other things that God mentioned and commanded us. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 28. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Remember that? Deuteronomy 28. Have you been to Deuteronomy lately?
Oh, yeah.
28 verses 2 through 9. I'm going to start with verse 1 here. We might not have it on PowerPoint, but if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all of his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on the earth. Let's just stop right there. If you obey everything that I tell you, I will exalt you. Remember that word exalt? Righteousness exalts a nation. God says right here, if you obey these commandments, then I will exalt you above all other nations. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. All right? So now we're going to have a big, long list of stuff that God is promising us if we follow him. Okay? Now listen to this. We're talking as a nation here, but if we personally do this, it will be the same result. If we in our personal lives, let's leave everybody else out of it. Our parents, our husbands, wives, girlfriends, boyfriends, everybody. It's just me and God and you and God, okay? If I obey what he says, this is the stuff that he's promising to me. Let's read. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. No matter where you live, you're going to be blessed if what? If we obey. If we obey him. We're going to be blessed in the city, blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed. Stop. Your babies will be blessed if you obey the Lord your God. So you're going to be blessed in the city and the country. Your babies will be blessed. The crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. All the babies of your flocks, all your crops, all that stuff's going to be blessed too if you obey the Lord your God. Promises. Okay? So the question, this begs the question then, what? Am I obeying the Lord God? Okay? Are you? Don't answer that. Answer it yourself. Are you obeying the Lord your God? Okay? You young people, as you begin to go out and make decisions of your own, make decisions involving the Lord. You understand that? You are beginning to grow up. You're going to be making decisions of your own. Make decisions that please God. Amen. And you will be blessed. Involve him in your decision-making process. You will be blessed. Involve him in the person you're going to marry. You will be blessed. Involve him in the career that you're going to follow. And you will be blessed. And so on, and so on, and so on. Let's continue. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. I want me a blessed basket. Okay? You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. That's awesome. Okay? When you come in, when you go out, city, country, crops, babies, livestock, all of it. Blessed if we obey the Lord God. Amen. The Lord will grant that your enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. Wow. God is going to fight for you. The Bible says, if God is for you, who can be what? Against you. God is going to fight your enemies for you. You remember that scripture in Psalm 23? You prepare a table before me in the presence of who?
My enemies.
We're going to sit down, me and the Lord, when our enemies are all over us, and we're just going to have a dinner together because he's protecting us. Isn't that awesome? It's awesome. They will come at you from one direction thinking they got you down, and they're going to flee in seven directions, the Bible says. They are going to go running away because God is on your side if you obey the Lord your God. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and everything you put your hand to. Everything you put your hand to. That reminds me of Joshua. The Lord will bless the work of your hands. Everything you put your hands to, God is going to bless. Wow. Everything you put your hands to, God is going to bless. If you obey the word of the Lord. The Lord your God will bless you in the land that he has given you. So he's going to give you land and he's going to bless you in it. Okay? And that's referring to the Holy Land, of course. The Lord, in verse 9, will establish you as his holy people as he promised you on oath if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Are you walking in his ways? Are you keeping the commands of the Lord? If you're not, repent. You know what repent means? Turn around. That's what repent means. Turn around and do it. Ask God to forgive you for not obeying him and turn around and do it. It's that simple. He will help you. God wants to bless you. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Do you see how all these scriptures just, they just fit right together like a puzzle? And each one confirms the other one and exalts it and strengthens it. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all the people on the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. Why are they going to fear you? Because they know that your God is with you. They see the work of his hands in you. They see enemies scattering, and everybody else is in fear because of your God. Not because of your army, because of your God. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, your babies, the young of your livestock babies, and the crops of your ground and the land he swore to your forefathers to give you. Friends, we need to make sure that we are fighting for freedom, but freedom for good. And I'm not just talking positive, okay? There's a difference between good and positive and good and righteous. All right? Because we can all be positive and still go to hell. Okay? Positivity is not the answer. Jesus is the answer. Okay? According to the Word of God, not according to Russ Peters. According to the Word of God. You look it up. You read what God's Word says. You need to know it, because I could tell you anything you want. I could be lying to you. God forbid me to do that. But I could be. And if you don't know the Word of God yourself, you will be led astray. It is important for us all to know the Word of God. Our country, friends, needs the Word of God. Our country needs Jesus. Jesus is the answer for our country. Not laws. Laws are not going to save our country. God is the reason our country has been great since its foundation. And if we trade the truth of God for a lie, our country will suffer for it. We need God in our personal lives. We need God in our families, our children. We need God in our workplaces. Oh, God, we need God in our schools. We need God in our government. Would you stand with me today? As we close, as we leave this place today and go to our various homes and gatherings over this weekend and places wherever you go, I pray that you carry the Spirit of God with you and that you remember and that you stand up, for what is right, and that you speak the truth of God in love. In love. Okay? Because if you're arguing and battling back and forth, that's not going to help. Okay? You speak the truth of God in confidence and in love, and you live it out in your lives. I want to close with a song, and then we're going to sing a song. Or I'm going to close with a prayer, and then we're going to sing a song. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we are so honored to be called Americans. Thank you, Lord. We love other countries, but we're so proud to be Americans, Lord. We're so glad that we can live our lives free to live for you, Lord, free to worship you, free to live our lives in righteousness. We pray for our country, oh God. We need you, Lord. We cry out to you today, God. We need you. We want you involved in our lives and in our country and our families, God. Our schools, our courts, our laws. Remember us, Lord. Remember mercy when we deviate from your laws. Remember mercy. Forgive us, oh God. Give us people that will stand up for what's right. Give us people where our nation will be blessed. Be with us as we celebrate this weekend. May we give you glory and honor for all that you've done in our country and in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh God, oh bless America, oh the land that I love, oh stand beside her and guide her through the night with light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam, oh God, bless America, my home sweet home.
God bless you as you leave today. I'm so glad that you came to church today to honor God. God bless you. God keep you. I'll see you next week. I love you.